This is fun! The FU Network! All right, everybody, here I am driving again. I had a list of things I was going to talk about. I asked you guys on Twitter last night for some topics you wanted me to talk about, and I wrote some of them down, but I don't know if I'm going to get to all of them or any of them, because other things came up today that I want to talk about. Let me make the left-hand turn, or don't. You know when you're changing lanes and you got the left-hand turn signal on, and the person just sits there just in the spot that makes it inadvisable for you to assume that it's okay to make the lane change? Like, either speed up and get past me, or put on your brakes for half a second and let me get in, because there's plenty of space ahead. Anyway, for those of you who don't know, I record this while I'm driving to or from Toronto, from the FU Network headquarters to Toronto and back. All right, first of all, heard that Elizabeth Banks, who is a talented director, by the way, said that the failure of her Charlie's Angels reboot this past weekend was because men don't want to see women in action movies. First of all, that's fucking absurd. Do you know how many times guys watch just to see if a cat fight will break out between women? Okay, so it was on Seinfeld once. It was even covered in an episode. The idea that men don't want to see women kick ass would mean that Ronda Rousey, who was a UFC fighter, isn't somebody who was really popular with guys, and she is, and the guys didn't tune in to see her matches, which they did, okay? The failure of your Charlie's Angels reboot, Elizabeth Banks, and by failure, it's a disaster. It made like $8.3 million. I could put out a movie of me sitting on the toilet taking a crap and it would make $8.3 million. $8.3 million. The budget worldwide alone, just for advertising of this Charlie's Angels movie, had been set at $100 million. I happened to be in a movie theater when I saw the trailer for Charlie's Angels. I happen to be a fan of the Charlie's Angels concept, the original one, that suited its time because it fit its time, the 70s. But I looked at this and I wanted to like it, and the trailer was just boring. It was just dull. It was just routine action movie trailer. There was nothing that made me want to go out and spend the kind of money you spend to see a movie in a theater to see this version of Charlie's Angels. It just didn't seem interesting. I'm not even saying, you know, wait till it comes on Netflix or something. I won't even watch it there. And here's the other thing. If the failure of Charlie's Angels, Elizabeth Banks, is because men don't want to see women in action films, the presumption then would be that men only want to see men in action films. Well, then explain to me the failure the week before of the new Terminator movie, the new Terminator sequel, which brought together James Cameron, the creator of the franchise, Linda Hamilton, one of the originals in the franchise, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger is basically the DNA of action films, and the movie bombed. So if your theory holds any water, that men don't want to see, that Charlie's Angels failed because men don't want to see women in action movies, explain to me why the guy, Schwarzenegger, who is the epitome of male action movies, directed by James Cameron, who is pretty much the epitome of directing male action movies, failed. They failed. I don't know. I think that the reason that Terminator failed is because there were too many shit movies that were Terminator sequels before this one, and people weren't willing to shell out the money, even though it was the originals coming back to continue the original story. There's just, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. It was just like, no, not another Terminator, thanks. It looks like it's a decent movie. I'll probably go see it. I saw the one before this, Terminator Genesis, which had a completely different cast and was rebooting the whole story. And I liked it. People were like, oh, it was a piece of shit. And you know what? Emilia Clarke was the star of that movie. And it did better than this current incarnation of Terminator has done, the one that stars Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, Elizabeth Banks, I have disproven your theory. It is easy to take your shit movie and the shit results from it and say it's because of men, because of sexism. It's a lot harder to look and say, hey, you know what? I made a shit movie. Well, you made a shit movie. The reviews were not so good. Your biggest star was Kristen Stewart. Who the fuck wants to shell out money to go see Kristen Stewart in a movie? I would shell out money to never see her again. Anyway, and not because she's a woman, but because she's Kristen Stewart and she annoys the shit out of me. All right, so let's move on from there. Another thing is, today I'm recording this is International Men's Day, which initially I thought was some kind of gag. Then I realized that, you know what? Because, of course, the comeback to that is every day is International Men's Day in a world ruled by the patriarchy. I thought at first it was some kind of joke, or certainly set itself up for lots of jokes. Then I thought for another second and realized, you know what? One of the highest suicide rates in North America is men over 50, if not the highest rate of suicide in America. Men over 50. Okay? That's because, partially, societal pressure telling men what it is to be a man, what they have to do, how they have to perform, what they have to deliver in order to be considered a man. There are societal pressures on women, and those have been covered, and those are legitimate, and those are being rolled back, but not fast enough. Those are legitimate. But there can be legitimate pressures, societal pressures and media messaging that is detrimental and has been for generations detrimental to women, and still take seriously that there are societal messages which are detrimental to men. I saw somebody, I put up a promo for one of our mansplaining episodes, and the response was some woman showing a GIF of some anime girls bathing in a waterfall, and she put under it, men's tears. Okay, first of all, here's this week's episode of Hypocrisy. Again, I guarantee you that this woman who put up the mocking of what men have to go through in society would be on the forefront of telling me about how men are the problem of society and women deserve that their concerns deserve more attention. So you're a fucking hypocrite. Secondly, if we're gonna remove societal pressures that say that men shouldn't cry, men shouldn't show emotion, then don't turn male tears into some kind of derisive mockery meme. You can't have it both ways. That whole thing about male tears, that's one of the cages that keeps men in so that they don't show their emotions, and they bottle it up, and then they blow their heads off when they're over 50. So you know what? Don't laugh. You and you're laughing at male tears and, oh, International Men's Day, it's so hard for men. I'm not saying that it is not harder for women. That does not mean that it is not hard for men, that men aren't also conditioned to behave in a certain way that is contrary to their inner nature, that men aren't subjected to media messaging about what it is to be a real man. You know, they are. And that's the reason that hockey players kill themselves. That's the reason that men kill themselves when over 50, they can't find a job because the companies have determined that they can hire two millennials for about half as much as this guy who's over 50 could earn, even though they don't have between them anywhere near the life experience or work experience. And men have been taught that you are your job. Your identity comes from your job and your ability to earn income. And so when they can't, when they feel cast away, they kill themselves. And you know what? Not fucking funny. So take your meme and your waterfall and shove it up your ass, you fucking hypocrite. All right. There are, and this is not about the men's rights movement. They're a bunch of fucking lunatics, okay? I dealt with them. I did a video about them and dealt with them. They're a bunch of incels who don't know how to approach women or had bad experiences with women. And chances are, based on the way they interacted with me, the bad interactions were because they themselves are assholes and they earned it. This is not about talking about promoting the men's rights movement. That whole movement, as far as I'm concerned, is full of shit. But being concerned about the societal pressures, the media messaging that's on men, and the effect it has on male health and male psychology, it ain't a joke. So if you want to talk about, you want men to take seriously the serious legitimate concerns of women about the messaging and pressures that they are under from society, then I don't think it's too much to ask for one day out of the year for women to just, even if you don't want to take seriously the pressures that are on men, which, by the way, you not being a man, you don't know if they're true or not, so you're passing judgment on something you don't know. Even if you don't want to show sympathy, you can hold yourself back from putting smart-ass memes on Twitter, okay? All right. What's the other thing? Oh, I wanted to talk about dental illness. Because there's a lot of talk about mental illness, a lot of awareness, and that's good. Because, hey, we're starting a whole new show on the FU Network about mental health, promoting mental health. It's a positive show. It's not a bunch of people talking about how horrible their lives are. It's about how you can manage and have a decent life with a mental illness, managing a mental illness. Anyway, mental illness is important. So dental illness has popped up as a phrase to try to, I guess, make people aware through the association in the rhyme that dentistry, having decent dental care, is important to people's health. Now, you think about it, here in Ontario, the only part of our body that is not covered by OHIP is your teeth, okay? Some people say not your brain either, because there's no support for, no OHIP support for mental health care, and that's another issue, and it's true, but that's the functioning of the brain. The physical care of the brain is still covered, but physical care of teeth, not covered. Why is this? Are teeth not part of your body? I mean, how do you take food into your and chew it up and get it into your body to survive without frickin' teeth? Why are teeth excluded when everything else from the top of your head to the tip of your toes is covered? Hey, if somebody gets an ingrown toenail, OHIP will cover whatever medical care is needed. But dental care? No, they don't give a shit. And I don't want to hear about how we can't afford it. This old drum that keeps getting beaten by fiscal conservatives and corporations and people who have a vested interest in not expanding any social programs. If we listened to this drum beat all the time, we'd still be working 7 days a week. We'd still be working, expected to work at least 12-hour days. We wouldn't have any health care at all. So this is every time something necessary comes up, we hear, we can't afford it. Yeah, we fucking can't afford it. And you know why? Because the amount that is lost to our gross domestic product every year in this country because of people suffering from debt, and I'm not talking about a little cavity. I'm not talking about a crooked tooth or something like that. I'm talking about people who have serious illnesses that spread from their mouths, from poor oral care because they can't afford to go see a dentist. The amount that's lost from our GDP is significant. We can recoup that with just a modest coverage of regular dental checkups and covering dental emergencies. I got a guy I know who, through no fault of his own, he was, I think, 8 years old, playing baseball at school. Some kid swung a bat right at his teeth. His teeth were just a mess all of his adult life. It affected his confidence. It affected, and this is a very, very smart guy who could have gone very, very far, but it affects your confidence when you open your mouth and your teeth look like your, the fake teeth they used to put on people on Hee Haw, okay? He couldn't get any help because he was poor. He couldn't get anything to help his teeth, nothing. So it affected his psychology, it affected his personality, it affected his opportunities going forward. It wasn't until those teeth started an infection in his gums and in his mouth that was so serious it could have taken his life. So serious that he had to spend days hooked up overnight to an IV of antibiotics at a hospital. It wasn't until it became a catastrophic emergency that his dental problems were taken care of. And you know what? If his dental problems had been taken care of earlier by a healthcare system, well, that would have been a lot cheaper than what it cost to deal with the emergency care that's needed when dental health winds up spreading infection throughout the body. Because it does. Your gums are permeable membranes, okay? Infection can spread from your gums all the way through your body, all right? Dental health is health. And why we don't cover dental health is beyond me. Some people have said that dentists just have a better lobby group. Well, you know what? There's less dentists than there are us. And if we start standing up and saying, you know what? We're not asking for you to cover our orthodonture and, you know, cosmetic dentistry. What we're asking for is covering preventive care so that we don't have to spend, the system doesn't have to spend a ton of money later when it becomes a crisis, and dealing with dental injuries the same way we deal with injuries to any other part of our body. It's only sensible. And you know what? We live in a first world nation. Don't tell me we can't afford it. We can. Don't point to our government federal debt or our provincial debt. What matters is not the actual raw numbers of the debt, but the debt to GDP ratio. Now, as a country, Canada's debt to GDP ratio, I think, is somewhere between 20 and 30%. America's is like 103%. That's where it becomes a problem. We have a very manageable debt. The same way when you buy a house you can afford with a mortgage you can afford. Manageable debt, okay? So this idea that teeth are somehow not really part of the body and not deserving of care that the rest of the body gets is preposterous, and we've put up with it for far too long. So I think it's time we start talking about dental illness, because people suffer. It reduces their productivity at work, which reduces our GDP, reduces the company's bottom line. If you don't want to care about the person as a human being, you can look at the balance sheet and it screws up the balance sheet. We can afford it. The problem is we've been hypnotized that we can't afford it. We can, and we should, and it's time to make dental illness being covered by government health plans a priority. All right, that was one issue. Another issue I wanted to talk about is critical thinking. Now, there's a podcast on FU Politics, one of the No Bullpen shows, that's about, the new one this week, about how critical thinking has died in our society and why it's important to have critical thinking. But this all came up. I know I said I wasn't going to talk about Don Cherry or Jess Allen, but it's my show, so if it bothers you that I'm violating that, go do something else. People were making comparisons after Don Cherry made what is inarguably an anti-immigrant statement on his Coach's Corner show, a statement which, besides being, I can't call it racist, because that's specifically not true, but bigoted, which violates the codes of the broadcast codes of the CRTC, which grants licenses to broadcasters and cablecasters, and violates the codes of the company that employed Don Cherry. Those are reasons enough when you violate codes like that to get fired. All right, he said something inarguably bigoted, and then the next day his apology was to completely misrepresent what he said. He deserved to get fired because he didn't apologize. Things could have been smoothed over if he just said, you know what, I was caught up with emotion about the poppies. I don't know what I was thinking. I misspoke. Immigrants are a great part of our country. I apologize. Now, here's the other thing. Let's apply critical thinking to Don Cherry's comments, because someone said, Don Cherry just got fired for saying what we all know is true and want to say. Okay, buddy, who said that on my Twitter. Let's take a look at that. Don Cherry said that it was immigrants who were the reason that he saw less poppies on lapels leading up to Remembrance Day. Critical thinking time. How did he know that the people whose lapels did not have poppies were immigrants? Do you believe that Don Cherry walked the streets with a clipboard and asked people if they were immigrants or citizens? Or naturalized citizens? Do you think that he took any kind of survey whatsoever? No. The guy sat in his Escalade, being driven probably, looked around, or popped into stores and looked around, and saw faces that were not white, meaning Asiatic features, black, Indian, anything that wasn't white. And if they weren't wearing a poppy, they were automatically an immigrant. And they're the problem in the reduction of people wearing poppies. Critical thinking. He had no way of knowing that the people that he determined were immigrants were actually immigrants. Because believe it or not, there are a lot of people in this country of various ethnic backgrounds and skin colors who were born here, whose parents were born here, whose grandparents were born here. They're as much a citizen as Don Cherry is. But he determined, just by looking at face shapes, the shape of eyes, the color of skin, that they were immigrants. That's a racist thought, okay? That's, if you use critical thinking, you recognize there's no defense of Don Cherry's statement. It was racist. He was judging people based on skin color and other features that are immutable, okay? That's not all right. That's not all right. Also, why wasn't he talking about the number of white people who stopped wearing poppies this year? Because I noticed a lot less white people with poppies, and it surprised me, because to me, I always noticed white people always wearing poppies. I always wear a poppy. In fact, I buy about a dozen of them, because I buy a poppy, put it on my lapel, go into the store. By the time I come out of the store that I bought the poppy in front of, the poppy's fallen off and I gotta buy another fucking poppy. But to blame immigrants and to determine these people were immigrants based on non-empirical studies, that's racism. To then bring up Justin Trudeau's blackface, specifically blackface, when he did the video singing the Harry Belafonte Deo song when he was in high school as a teenager in the 1990s, for which he apologized and has a record, a solid record, as Prime Minister of being very supportive of people of color and welcoming immigrants and taking more Syrian refugees when the rest of the world was saying to hell with them. To bring up something that Justin Trudeau did when he was probably 15, 16 years old, and he's apologized for, and he has taken concrete actions to work against any kind of racism that might have perhaps been operating at that time in his head, to compare that to what Don Cherry did a week ago, without apologizing, there's no comparison. Just because race was involved in the blackface debacle, and race was, or bigotry was involved in what Don Cherry said, doesn't make them the same. It doesn't mean that every other factor that could be looked at when comparing the two is tossed away and that they are the exact same because race or bigotry was involved in both. Okay? Critical thinking time. They are not on the same plane. The thing Jess Allen said on CTV's The Social, a show that exists on a set that was created by demolishing the Much Music environment in order to build that set there. I'm not lying. That set that they do the Social on at CTV, that's where I used to do my work, me and all the other VJs. They demolished, they took in bulldozers and jackhammers and demolished the Much Music environment so they could build that nice all-white set for the Social. You know what? That's their business. They bought the company, they can do with it what they want. Anyway, Jess Allen, when talking about her experiences with amateur hockey players when she was younger, saying that they were bullies, they weren't very nice, that they tended to be bullies, and that they tended to be white boys, well, that's not the same thing as Don Cherry making a generalized statement about immigrants who he couldn't possibly know for sure were actually immigrants. What she said was stupid, and her mentioning that the kids who bullied her were white was irrelevant to the story, at least as far as I'm concerned. The point being that these athletes, she was talking about hockey as a sport we worship in Canada, and these youth athletes, youth hockey players, got worshipped as well, even though they were bullies. I thought that was her point, that we put too much emphasis on hockey, and we let hockey players, youth hockey players, get away with too much because there are demigods. In small communities, they are. Mentioning their skin color was irrelevant, unless she was just trying to make a point that it was all about their white privilege, which is another issue altogether. It wasn't necessary. However, it's not the same thing as Don Cherry, because she was talking about experiences she actually lived. Like, she actually knew these people. They actually interacted. She was actually bullied by these individuals who actually were hockey players. Don Cherry was making a comment about people he assumed were immigrants with no actual evidence, no interaction with them, and with no proof that immigrants wear poppies at a lower rate than people who were born in Canada. So just because skin color or race or bigotry was mentioned in both of these, or a factor in both of these stupid comments, doesn't make them the same thing. You have to understand, people, critical thinking. Don't take the thinnest tissue of comparison that puts two subjects seemingly alike and say, see, it's the same, so the outcome should be the same. Both people should be fired. No, you have to look at context, because context is important. When was it said? How was it said? What was the evidence offered? Things of that nature. You can't just say, well, it's all about bigotry, so Don Cherry got fired, so Jess Allen should get fired. It doesn't work like that. Okay? Use your freaking head. Anyway, sometimes I think you guys deliberately turn off your critical thinking because you use the lack of critical thinking as a cudgel to try to defend your team against the other team. And I think it's time that people started thinking for themselves and stopped trying to be on teams, okay? Teams, fuck teams. You know, somebody the other day on my Twitter said that I was spineless because I won't commit to being a conservative or a liberal because I criticize both. That people, that because I don't join the cacophony of voices on the right or the left, that makes me spineless. Yeah, you know what? Standing up on your own, away from the crowd, expressing your own opinions, Yeah, that's spineless. But what really makes you a vertebrate is jumping in with the chorus of voices on one side or the other. That makes you real brave. Letting other people say the things for you, or you saying the things that they told you to say, or told you to think, or you chose to think because it's more comfortable than challenging your preconceived notions and bigotries. What the hell's wrong with this world? When did critical thinking stop being a factor in public discourse? I guess social media? Maybe that's when? But this whole idea about teams? Sorry, if someone on your team does something that is objectively wrong, and that would be objectively wrong if someone on the other team did it, you are ethically bound to criticize that person the same way you would the person on the other team if they did the same thing. It's called ethics. It's called having principles and not being a freaking hypocrite. All right, so I'm almost home, and that was the show this week. Lots more exciting things coming up. Don't forget to check on FU Network or FU Politics, wherever you get your podcasts, under FU Politics. New show called Keeping It Real with Michelle Badusky. She is from a very small town in Manitoba, and she was doing this podcast. I liked it. We picked it up. Her stuff is very thought-provoking and very ballsy, and I say that in a non-gendered way. So take a listen to that, as well as all of our other shows: Mensplaining, The No Bullpen, Zodcast, The Matter of Fact. I can't even remember them all. Rock'em Sock'em Politics. If I forget, I'm going to forget some, and then I'm going to feel bad after. Just go there and look. You'll find programming with real people talking the way real people talk about issues that concern real people. We talk with you. We don't talk at you, okay? And we don't use jargon and big words to just try and confuse you and make you feel like an idiot. We want you to be part of the conversation. Because FU, in FU Politics and the FU Network, FU stands for... Hold on. FU stands for... Of course, it stands for FU. But also for us. And for you. And fed up. FU stands for many things. But the FU Network is for us. Those of us left behind by the political classes on those news channels. All pundits. All using jargon. All using talking points. The hell with that. I think we're tired of that. It excludes the average Canadian from being part of the conversation. Well, we're reviving that conversation on a peer level, on a grassroots level, amongst ordinary Canadians. There's no such thing as an ordinary Canadian. Every Canadian is extraordinary in their own way. Wow, I sounded like Don Cherry there for a second, didn't I? But check it out, and please, we're working with an agency to try to get sponsors, because our shows have done remarkably well on iTunes and other podcast platforms, far better than we thought they would do this fast. So we're working with an agency to get us some advertising so that we can pay, you know, to maintain our equipment. For example, my laptop just died. All right. We got to find the cash in our spare resources to either get it repaired or get another one. I can't just go to the shelf and pull another laptop. It's not like that. We are building something. Everything starts small. I have a picture in my office of a very young Jeff Bezos sitting alone in a concrete warehouse with nothing in the warehouse, metal desk and chair, and the word Amazon.com written on a large piece of paper stuck to the wall. Everything starts somewhere, all right? And the people who really don't give a shit about you and want to change the way you think about each other, the way we think about each other, the way we think about our country, the way we think about our values, those people have a lot of money. Because it's easy to make money when you have no values or principles. You'll do anything to make money. We won't do that. We won't sell out. We have principles. We stand by them. So we need you to help us out. So do me a favor. If you want to subscribe, it starts at $1 a month. You go to patreon.com/FUNetworkTV. I learned this on satellite radio. I have to say it 3 times. Patreon.com/FUNetworkTV. Patreon.com/FUNetworkTV. Or if you want to just give a one-time boost on PayPal, you go to PayPal, do it at our email address, FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. 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 I know that's annoying, but apparently it works. All right, that's it. I've been enjoying talking to you. Well, more in this case, talking at you. Feel free to add your comments, but in doing so, please be civil. And if somebody has an opinion you don't like, please criticize the opinion, not the person. I'm the only one that's allowed to call people morons. And that's because I've got decades of a career doing that. You haven't earned that right. So disagree, talk about issues, point out the weaknesses in each other's issues, point out the strength in each other's issues, whatever. Talk about issues. Don't talk about personalities and don't attack people as people. Talk about ideas. All right? That's how we're going to repair a culture that is very in need of repair. All right. I'm pulling into the driveway. I got to go over to the super mailbox and get my mail. I used to like when mail was delivered to my house. Boy, was I spoiled. All right. I'm Ed the Sock. This is Show on the Road on FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network. And remember, I'd rather be a smartass than a dumbass.